We are in Leviticus 6, I think, and it's washed with pure water. Lord, we thank you for tonight and but what's happening above in your heart, and that we're one with that. And we just want your spirit to order this time tonight and minister your heart, Lord, and the things that are helping us build our altar and be a part of you in the way that you are, as a lamb and a sacrifice, in the spirit of what you're calling and your heart is crying out for, Lord, of your Son in us. So we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so thankful for the class that just happened. It is so perfect for what this class is, which the Holy Spirit seems to know that. I don't know how he does that. It's just, how do you do that, Holy Spirit? How do you do that? I'll never figure it out. It's a God thing. It's just a God thing. But so last class we talked about the sprinkling of the blood on the conscience. And of course I happened across a scripture that's awesome after the class is over, after we've really forgotten everything that we talked about last week. Just teasing. So anyway, if you still remember, and it's reading, being written on the tables of your heart, here's a great scripture for the sprinkling of the blood, because we're going to go on to the next part of that verse in Hebrews. But this is Hebrews 12 and verse 24, and it says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." The blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. And Abel spoke really good things. But the blood of Jesus sprinkled on our hearts speaks even better things, because we got the real lamb living inside of us now. That's awesome, huh? That's awesome. So let's refresh ourselves with a verse from last week. It was our New Testament verse showing the sprinkling of the blood and that being a part of the order of offering up the firstborn son, offering up the slaughtered lamb to the Father as the fulfillment of the tabernacle and the priesthood and all the shadows and types that were really just something in the heart of God for his son through us. And the order that the Father gave us, there's the eternal elements. I'm just going to try to recap things every week so we can have that principle. But in Leviticus, we have eternal elements. What would an eternal element be? Perfect. Absolutely. Absolutely. You got blood. Got to have it. What's another eternal element? Huh? Wood, yes, if it's the right wood. Cedar wood. We'll talk about that later with the lepers. Yes. What else? Fire. Fire. Unless it's strange fire, then it's not. But if it's God's fire, yes, good. Fire. What else? There's more. Now you're just throwing things out there. No, altar is good. It's not one of them. I'm going to say no, but I'm probably wrong. Valerie. A lamb would be fabulous. Just fabulous. Yes. Another eternal element. Water. 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 There's three that bear witness in the earth, and they are. Yeah, that's right. So they bear witness in one. I wonder who the one is. Yes, that would be. So you've got eternal elements. Perfect. So I'm on a bit of medication right now, just a little bit. And so let's just go, wow, I've got my medicine here. See, I've got that and that and that and that. Supposed to take them all. They got a purpose. Maybe today I'll just do it like this. Do, 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 do. And I'm going to take one of those, 10 of those, 5 of those, and we'll mix it all up tomorrow in different times. What happens? But I have my elements. The doctor told me they're the right ones. Why are you so picky? Legalistic Christian. Getting under the law. Getting me under the law, bro. You're ruining my flow. I like to be free. That's not the kind of freedom we want. So I can have all the right elements, but if I don't have the eternal order of how those elements, that'd be the time I take them right? This one in the morning, after that, this. And there's a reason for the time. We're talking on a very low level with taking medicine in the earth, but it's a practical example. But if I don't get the timing right, it's not going to be efficacious to what my body needs, okay? So there's an eternal elements, there's the eternal order, and there's the prescribed way of taking them. Welcome to the book of Leviticus. Welcome to the book of Leviticus. It's as if the Father said, I have just what the doctor ordered. Now, he starts off with the whole burnt offering. That's chapter one. So in chapter one, it really starts out with, you got what I need, because it's a sweet savor offering. It's not really us needing him. It's him needing what's in us. And he's, you know, we talked about that, the best Father's Day present ever. How do you want us to cook this steak? But really, it's your firstborn son. We want to offer him up in sacrifice just the way you want him, Lord. So it begins with what he needs. But let's face it, until we're really able to just flow forth as a sweet savor of Christ as an offering and walk in that, we need some help. I do. I'm looking no further than this direction on the mic right here pointing. I need some help. And so the book of Leviticus is getting us ready. Also, it's consecrating us. It's purifying us. It's cleansing us. It's all these things that are getting us ready for the priesthood too. And there's an order even in the burnt offerings, even in the sweet savor offerings that are purifying the offering for the sacrifice for being offered. And we've been looking at that. We'll be really looking at that tonight. So there's a lot of that. And you go, wow, okay. There's a lot of things that have to happen just to the sacrifice on a burnt offering before it's popped on that altar and the fire consumes it. Just to the burnt offering. Now, what is a burnt offering as composed? Composed. Yes, composed, but as compared to a sin offering. Perfect. Right, one's sweet savor, one's... It's just not sweet. It's just, yeah, it just... We need help. That's it. It's just what it is, what it is. Not a cry for help, but an answer. So, yeah, so you've got those two different kinds. But even in the sweet savor, that is a whole burnt offering, completely consumed to release all that beauty of the savor of the Son in his selfless giving up to the Father through the altar. Even that sacrifice needs cleansing. Why would that sacrifice need cleansing? Come on. If you go out there and pick an unblemished lamb out of the flock, in which you do, right, and you get that right one for, why would we need to cleanse it? This is the million-dollar question. Let's see. Anybody? It was even in the last class the answer was. Do, 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 do. Question again. Only one time, sir. Why would the sacrifice for a whole burnt offering, as spoken of in chapter 1, need to be washed if it's representing the lamb being offered through us and it's not a sin offering? In other words, partaking of our sin. Boom, boom, boom. Good try. I like the effort. A for effort. Amen. Yes. Well, for sure, that's part of it, but it's not specifically.
Contamination.
Always there, but why contamination? It's a whole burnt offering representing Christ in us.
The question was, why does it have to be washed?
But yes, if it is a lamb in a whole burnt offering, that's a sweet savor sacrifice. That is right. How? Because of us. Because it's not a sin offering. Not a sin offering. You're right. You're right. You're close. You're very close. But it's not. You're hot. But it's not the contamination of a sin offering. Huh? Good. Closer.
Is it because of our handling of it? Is it almost proper?
Very close. It's almost. It's because we are the body of the sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
Because we. are the body. What was shared in last class about holding the head? Because why? Because the body is of Christ. Okay, Christ who? Christ crucified, because the body is the body of the slaughtered lamb. Or what I like to call it, because my friend the Holy Spirit called it that to me, we are the body of the sacrifice. We've got the right life in us, but even in the realm of the sweet savor, there needs to be a cleansing so that that's the one that comes forth. Okay, so yes, of course, in the sin offering, we understand, you know what I mean, contamination and need, because he partook of our, he took that in, he became sin, he bore, it was, you know, we're not even going to sin offerings right now, but there's a laying on of hands where there was, what's the word of it, transferal of our sin into him. We're not going there now, but this is the body of the sacrifice. Okay, so in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it says, let us draw near. New Testament, now. That's us. In other words, let's just name all the names in this room and anyone ever and all people on the earth that are saved. Us. Let us draw near. Who draws near when it comes to sprinkling blood and washing sacrifices? Priests do. Priests do. So is he just talking to Christians who need help in some random area of their life? Or is he addressing us in the book of Hebrews as priests who offer the lamb? What was the name of the whole burnt offering in Mr. Alter, Robert Alter, his book? Slaughter site was the name of the realm where it was offered, but what was the name of the offering itself he derived from the Hebrew? A draw near offering. Bring your draw, yeah. Did you all read the book? It's right there. It's really good. It's really good. It's the draw-near offering. Now, that's just someone's translation who's really searched the Hebrew. But they're drawing near to the Father. They're getting in the danger zone because all flesh is vanity. You can't, you know, the false humility don't work there. It's got to be the Lamb. So they're drawing near with and through and by the Eternal Spirit. Okay, so let us draw near with a true heart, because we're going to die if it's not the Son, but a heart that has been sprinkled with the blood. We talked about that last week. That's the first part, and we discussed all of that, and that we don't want to reteach that class because we don't have time, and why would we? We have those seeds in us now. But the second part of that verse says, after we were sprinkled with the blood on our conscience, in our priesthood of offering the lamb, not some random cleansing, and our bodies washed with pure water. There it is. These are all, how many sacrifice words were used in that one sentence in Hebrews? Three. The answer is three. Draw near, sprinkling of blood, and washing of the body. That's purity, old Leviticus. Hello, all you Leviticus fans, stand up. Stand up and wave. Do a wave offering. Thank offering. Yeah, that's our language. We know what you're talking about because we love Leviticus because it gives the Father his Son. Yeah, all right. Well, let's read that in chapter 1. Let's go at verse 8 through 9, and then we're going to look at 11 and 12. Get my glasses on. Let's read it in the Old Testament. Okay, chapter 1 and verse 8. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts. Notice the parts they mention, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. Next verse, verse 9. But his inwards and his legs, interesting what he mentions, shall he wash in water. Shall he wash in water? So there's the order. Let's look at it in verse 11 and 12. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. There's a sprinkling of the blood in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. The second part is in verse 12. And he shall cut it into his pieces with his head and his fat, there's the head and the fat, and lay them in order on the wood. in 13, and he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water. So there it is. Remember, you got to take your medicine in order. You got to build your altar in order. You got to order your wood and your pieces and everything. It's all eternal elements, eternal order in the prescribed way. If you get those three in one, you do it right, then the Father's going to receive his Son. I really believe that. I really do. And so why would I say that now? Because these things are important where in our lives, in my life, I want to get this so deep in me that I know how to offer up the Son to the Father. And that's why I'm so glad to have to just speak it with my mouth so I can get more in my heart, honestly. So here we go. Our bodies washed with pure water. I'm just going to read a note here. For before the sacrifice is offered, the inwards and the legs are washed. But before it is washed, it is ordered on the wood. Okay. So here we're looking at eternal order now. We've got eternal elements, but we're looking at order. Before I wash the inwards, the legs and the inwards, I like to make sure I'm understanding it because I'm a slow learner. So before I'm going to wash the inward parts and the legs, I was going to have to order the wood. But what does I do? First order the wood. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to get it. But after I order the wood, I lay the parts on the wood. And it doesn't say in their order, but it says in his order. And it specifies that I lay the head and the fat and the pieces in order on the wood. The wood is also ordered before I wash it. Eternal order. What comes next? Why? Why? Why do I order the wood before I order the parts on the wood? Because I would personally like to wash the parts before I put them on the wood in their order. That's just me. It's like, why do I put my dirty dishes in the organized clean rack and then I pick them up off the clean rack and then I wash them? Why? I need an answer. Oh, that's just what I did to the Holy Spirit. Class is coming soon. No, not really. I just want to know personally. But partly I did say, but why? Because that doesn't make sense in the earth. It's just, it seems like, not organized. Like, wouldn't you, like, once everything's organized, not want to have to wash it? Like, usually I wash it and then I lay it out in order. So I think the answer is in the heart of God and in the Word of God. So let's go there. Praise the Lord. So, and why do you mention head and fat when it has to do with ordering his pieces? You could have said liver and spleen. You could have said shoulder and elbow. Why did you say head and fat and then his pieces in the inward? Or why did you just call them inwards? Why? Why did you say that, God? And why did your word say that? I want to know, because I need to know, because I have to learn from this how to give you your Son in the prescribed and needful way. So, okay. He said, I have a reason. It's not just a random typing thing in there, the way that people wanted to write it down or the priests, scribes did it. Nope, this is from me by the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's look at this. Let's try to answer some of those questions. Here's a spoiler alert. I probably shouldn't read this right now, but I'm going to. I'm not going to. Nope. Okay. So Colossians 1:18. I promise you these were all in my notes before the last class, and I had no idea it was going to be taught, but that's that wonderful Holy Spirit. So Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So it's that the head would have preeminence in all things. But it's not just Jesus the head, but the head of what? And what's being washed with pure water in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22? Body. Are you feeling it in your spirit? Yeah. Oh, I know. He's going to start rolling. Yeah, he loves this stuff. All right. So what would be of all things preeminent to a head who is a slaughtered lamb? Things pertaining to the altar. So if I am a sacrifice, which I'm not, I'm the body of one, but I'm not. If Jesus is the Lamb of God, and everything that's in his heart has to do with giving himself and for others in that spirit. So what would he be preoccupied with? What would be important to him above all things? What was important to him above all things when he was walking the earth? What did he share with the most passion about? His father, yes. And what did he share to his disciples about that was just, forget all the teachings, this is what's needful, this is where I'm going, this is what I'm about. The cross, the altar. So he is the head of the body, and in everything and all things he has preeminence. But what's preeminent to the head above all things is his altar, is where he gives himself, how he gives himself, the way he gives himself, the spirit in which, that's the all things to a lamb. So we have this head of whom we are the body, because Hebrews is a New Testament book, not an Old Testament type. In other words, the blood of Abel was awesome in the Old Covenant, but it couldn't speak of the very life of God dwelling in a body of his resurrection, because the cross hadn't happened yet. So Jesus is mediating a new covenant where he's going, listen, my life is in you. Hello. Eee! Ha! This is the real deal. I've died and rose again, and I'm the head. I got a body. You're the body. Hello. Woo! It's on. Game on. Real time now. Real time. No looking back or faith looking forward. This is it. This is it. It's come. It has come. It's come. Now faith. Right now. It happened. So that blood speaks better things of even the best release in the Old Testament, Abel, who offered up a lamb. Do you see what I'm saying? But this blood speaketh better things. Well, how about this body that is not just a type and a shadow of what is to come in Christ getting a body in his resurrection, but is literally his body, and he's the head of that body. Wow, so Hebrews is talking about that, but it's not just talking, like Colossians is defining, like just this beautiful last class is defining that, hey, Colossians, you know, you got your Gnostic things and your feasts and your times and seasons and real worship and all your angels and knowledge, but the body is of Christ. The body is of Christ, and he's the fullness of the body. He's the head of the body. He is the all of the body. My God. It's on. Yeah. So in Hebrews, we're walking a little further down the road. We're not at Revelation yet. We're going there. We're going there. We're going. But we're at, woo, we're at Colossians. Yeah. He's got a body. Yes. We walk a little further down the scriptures, and we get to Hebrews, and he goes, okay, body, who are you? I'm the body of the sacrifice. Who's the head? Jesus, the Lamb of God. What does he do? He gives himself to the Father in sacrifice. So what are we going to do? We're going to learn how to be his body that gives him, lets him go and sacrifice. What do we need? The sprinkling of the blood. We need the washing of the body. We need the ordering of the wood. Yeah, who's going to do that? Holy Spirit. Is he going to do it like an old time Leviticus priest? No, it's going to be the fulfillment in us, forming his son, applying the death, filling us with the Lamb. Yeah, oneness. Hallelujah. And you go, okay, let's keep going. Where are we going next? We're going to go to Jude. Oh, ouch. Yes, Lord. Keep going. We're going to get to Revelation. Woo! We're ready to offer him up. Amen. He's like, let's go back to Colossians, maybe even back to Leviticus. You know what I mean? It's okay. I am the God of order. It's one of my names. Elohim. I don't know, something. Elohim, thank you, Elohim. It's a big thing. We love you, Elohim, because you're right here in Leviticus, I believe. Oh, anyway, so, okay, so he's like, whoa, this is awesome. Okay, so we talked about ordering the wood, and it was like we were all getting into our own crosses, our false crosses, and the wood was the wrong wood, and the cross was the wrong cross. So get the wood ordered. It's got to be his cross. It's got to be his death. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Our wood is ordered, and we're like, wow, I've had a breakthrough. I'm not going to go with my false crosses anymore. I'm getting the wood ordered. Yeah, there's only a problem now. I got the wood ordered, but there's nothing on it. So, wah, wah. So, son of Aaron Downer. Anyway, I'll stop there. So you're there and you go, what? Oh my gosh. What next? He's like, well, let's look at the doc. You have to read your doctor prescription. Put on your glasses, look at the fine print, and go, okay, now order the wood, see. Son, lay the parts head in order upon the wood. And we order, oh, seven. Sons of Aaron, put fire on the altar. Lay the wood in order upon the fire. So you, okay, laid my wood in order. Yeah, it's not false cross, his cross. And next, priests, Aaron's son, lay the parts, the head and the fat in order. Okay, all right, got my wood in order. So now I'm supposed to lay the head and the fat in pieces in order on the wood. And I don't get to wash them for some strange reason that I don't understand, but okay. I trust Dr. Jesus, Dr. Moses, Holy Spirit, God. I'm going to do it. So I do it, and then I'm sitting there, and I'm putting the head, the fat, and his pieces in order on his cross, and doing it, and I'm asking my questions and just being faithful to do my little job. I don't understand why. And knowledge of good and evil is saying you should really wash them. Wash them. Lord said, not yet, not yet. Okay, I trust you. So I look at him, and the Lord starts saying, I should be reading my notes here. I'm going to miss something, right? Right? I don't know. We'll trust the Holy Spirit. He goes, if it is not coming from the head, if all that comes from this point on does not flow from the head, you got nothing. Stop. Just stop. You may have got the wood in order. We've come a long way. We got the sprinkling of the blood. But we are getting dangerously close to the Holy of Holies. We're getting dangerously close to entering into a holy land, not a place in the East or what. Holy land, the Holy of Holies of God's heart. And you don't want to go in there with the wrong offering or an unprepared, out of order offering, right? So he's going, you've got to have the head, his fat, and his pieces, his inwards, in order. But, and this is what I felt was so specific, but the head has to be put in his place on that altar. Because if you don't have him as head and fullness of the body, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. And here's the word the Lord said, it all has to flow down from the head. It all has to flow. We got nothing. It all has to flow down from the head. And I love the step of the altar building. It's just wonderful. It's so wonderful. It all is. But I really feel the care of Christ for those that are his bride, and he's cleansing and purifying to be the body of his Lamb, the wife of the Lamb. So it's got to, his flow, and here's the thing, the Spirit said, his flow orders the pieces as they lay on the wood. Think about it. What his flow from head to body is what orders the pieces on the wood. Thank you. It orders the pieces. Think about it. It's so precious. We could order the pieces. This is how my affections need to be. This is how my, give me an inward, motives need to be. My intentions need to be. Thoughts. And I'm ordering them. I just need to, And I love you, Lord. And I want to give you your firstborn son and sacrifice. I want to be a wife of the Lamb. I want to be part of her. That new Jerusalem from above. So I'm going to order the pieces. My emotions, my affections, my intentions. Oops, his. I'm going to get them right. And I forgot. I was supposed to put the head first. But I'll order them, Lord. And I'm going to work all day on ordering them. Going to get it right. I'm going to get it right. Order it. Get in order. Get in line. Laura said, now, if you had put the head first and let all that goodness that is his beautiful nature flow down into his body, his affections, his intentions, his nature would have filled every inward part and ordered them. His spirit would order what's going on in the body. We don't have to do that. Not holding the head, from whom all nourishment flows to the edifying of the body and to the increase of God. Was that not a scripture just quoted? I think it's verse 17, 19 in chapter 2. Not holding the head. It didn't say not ordering the pieces. Not holding the head, from whom all that nourishes and brings increase. So if we have the right head and we've put him as preeminent and we've ordered him there, what is it, his life, his spirit, his nature? It's going to start flowing and ordering those inward parts in us. And it's going to make it be his body and not our attempt at being lamb-like, which are two different universes. Man at his best is altogether vanity. You see all, yeah. So you're like, oh, snap. Dude, I was really, really trying. And I missed this one small thing. It's like Larry Law. He missed this one great thing. I didn't uphold the head. Or I thought I was, and then I kind of said, bye, see you later. I'm going to go organize the pieces now without you. And he's like, good luck. See you when you're ready. See you after the strange fire consumes your little busybody fingers trying to do good works. Let your conscience be purged from dead works is another application. Dead works, that's a dead work there. So you're going, I need, and don't you love this, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It fulfills all the law. What's part of the law? Leviticus. Love. Just love him. I just love you, Jesus. You're the head. You're the fullness. You're the life. Flow into me, your little empty vessel body. That's just part of you to receive your fullness. And of his fullness, we have received in that grace for grace. We can't earn it. We can't figure it out. And we can't work it up. We are the body that receives what flows down from the head into us because we're joined. We're one. So we are in Oneness-ville. We just walked into oneness. Woo! Everything's one. You go in there and go, nothing works without oneness. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lamb. I really want to let the firstborn son go and sacrifice. But I keep walking into this room of separateness with a heart for God. And nothing works here. I try. Sister, what's your name? What is your name? Matilda. Matilda, why does everything work for you? Doesn't work for me. And I love the Lord just as much as you. And I'm trying harder. And I know that I am. I do, because I watch you. It's not fair. And I am killing myself over here. Killing myself. I'm busting a gut. Veins are popping in my forehead. Just can't get it. You're over there just lifting up the head, holding the head, receiving grace, you know, doing your little David dance because you're seeing his heart. Makes me sick sometimes, but I have false humility to offer up. But I want what you got, but I won't tell you that because I'm mad at you. But someday I'm going to get over it and ask you what the heck's going on over there. Because I need a little. Give me a little of that goodness. And I know you didn't earn it because you are definitely a worse person than I am. Definitely. We all know it. You are confounding the wise. Confounding me. So, amen. Yeah. So what's going on, lady? She's like, I'm lifting up the head, dummy. All I got is oneness. I got nothing else. I am a disaster. I'm a travesty of nature. I have nothing. I'm a leper colony. I am. Legion is my middle name before I met Jesus. I got nothing. 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 All I got is him, and it's working out great. It's working out great. And I just lift him up, and it just flows. He just flows into me, and I just go, to the glory of the praise of the glory of his grace, that you would be this way. I can't believe it. Father starts dancing. I mean it. He's like, are those the inward parts of my sacrifice? Holy goodness. Get over here. Yeah, I know. It's not me. It's Christ. I got nothing. But then all of a sudden I started lifting him up his head. It started flowing into me. He's like, that's my son. You start doing a little dance. This person over here is like, okay, now I'm really mad. You and the Father are dancing. Okay, I'm out. I'm out. Just give me a little time on retreat. Maybe I'll get over this, but I need help. I mean, honestly. So the flow orders the pieces. What, you know, blood sprinkles. We're talking out eternal elements, eternal application. Blood is usually sprinkled. The Greek and the Latin calls it poured. Poured or sprinkled, it's a blood thing. Blood is poured, blood is sprinkled. Or it's with hyssop and it's... Hyssop's a wonderful eternal applicator. Talks about lowliness, we'll talk about that later. But blood is that, but water flows. Water, running water, is a huge thing in Leviticus. Every time you're a clean person to cleanse anything, it's running water, clean water, running water. Yeah, living, running, clean water. Yes, that's how it's... So what's flowing from the head is like water. It's the spirit of what he is flowing into his body and washing us. Who can think of a scripture that really, really deals with that? Mallory already mentioned it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 is awesome. It's an awesome scripture. But they all are, so it's not really fair to say that. Because they're all him. Why do I always turn the wrong direction? I will die knowing every verse in this book and not knowing which... You know, I'm not just directionalist in the earth. I'm just about everything. If it weren't for God, but for Jesus, I got nothing. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 25. Let's go to verse 23. So Ephesians 5, starting with verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's what? Savior of the body? What? Was that always in my Bible? Therefore, maybe you should remember what came before this verse. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their husbands in everything, including how to order the inward parts. Yes. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Why did he give himself for the church that is his body that he loves? Because he wants to sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Do you see the order? The head loves his body like a husband loves a wife and saves her in what way? Gives himself unto death with what purpose? To sanctify and clean her. How? By the washing of water by the word. There it is. Boom. Verse 27. That he might present her to himself, a glorious church. Uh-oh, we're getting sacrifice terms now. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. Blemish is a lamb word going to the altar. He's getting her ready to be wife of the lamb. And he's not doing it by sticking her face in her failures. Can I get an amen? That is from our loving Father and our sweet Jesus Lord. He is not doing it by sticking her face How many want to be with Jesus, the head? He doesn't want to stick your face in your failures in that spirit. He wants to wash you with water because you are his body. What man yet hateth? Ooh, doesn't it say that? Verse 29. Let's go to 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh. Think about that for yourself. But rather he nourishes and cherishes her, even as the Lord does his church. For we are his members, the members of his body, the body of his flesh and of his bones. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. That's the washing of the head to his body, the body of the sacrifice, preparing that body to be an offering through his spirit. And we can't ever be wife of the Lamb if we don't let the head wash us. How? By flowing into us through oneness. Now we can get to that point, and we can think the washing happens like this. The head walks up and bobbles up, rolls around on the ground, disconnected, no neck, no body, with a bucket of water connected to its earlobes, and starts hurling water on these disjointed members because we're not connected. That is not how the water is distributed to the body, because body and head are made one through the cross. They have flow. How do they have flow? Because of what word? Oneness. That's it. One. They have flow because they're one. So what's in the head can just go directly into the body. He can just start washing her. He can flow into her. He can just flow into her. She doesn't have to earn it. She doesn't have to repent for it. He died and made them one so he could just give her that. He cherishes her and he nourishes her and he washes her and he cleanses her with the water of the word of his heart concerning who she is in him, in his reality, above in oneness, in where we are raised and seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it is a finished work, and it is his reality, and the water flows from up where the head sees things, not down where the body perceives things. Amen? Where does the water come from? His reality or ours? So it flows down into us so we can know who we are and be cleansed in our minds and old identities. We need to say, Lord, I need to see myself like you see me, but I don't need to see it on a piece of paper. I need it to flow into me from the head straight into the member. I need to be washed with it like you wash your wife, which we are, your body, the church is, because the Bible says it. So this stuff works by oneness. The pieces, all of them are ordered when the head is filling them all. They are ordered when the head is filling them all. We cannot and will not have the right spirit or be accepted if we are the head of the offering. Only through oneness can anyone walk as the body of the Lamb. So now that we've got the head and his pieces in order, then what happens? Remember, I had a problem with why this... Then we wash them. Do you see why we wash it after? Perfect, isn't it? See, my way of cleaning could actually be from the Lord. No, I'm just teasing. No, but what I'm saying is we can't be washed until the head is put in his order. No matter how dirty that thing is, it's his body. And she's already been made one through his death. And when we put the head in the right place, no matter how soiled the pieces are, what's in the head's going to flow like water, cleansing those pieces, cleansing away the filth, cleansing away the debris. And if it's got stuff on it, he's washing it away, because that's not who the body is anymore. He's like, you're not the dirt. You're me. In Adam, you were dirt. You were taken from the clay. The old man is dirt. The first Adam, it's earthy. He's earthy. But the new man is the Lord from heaven. The new man is, you're me. You're not you anymore. You're not dirt. You may get dirty, but you're not dirt. Say that with me. I may get dirty, but I'm not dirt. I'm him. What does the devil say when we get dirty?
You're dirt.
You are dirt. And then what does he do with your head, which isn't really your head? He pushes it into the dirt and tries to suffocate you with the dirt. So you get so degraded and abused and shamed in a wrong way that you won't uphold the head, which is your true identity. That's one of his favorite tactics. When you are dirty and down and out, when you have failed, when you know that I'm not ready for the altar because I'm out of order and I'm messed up, that's when the enemy and the vultures come. And what do they come to those sacrifice pieces that are laid? They do. And they come to, they come to devour it. And they come to do it on a basis of dirt and on what's looking right. They don't do it on the basis of the head. God forbid, he's the head of all principality and power. They're like, goodbye, right? They're trespassing, but we don't know it. And God gave man authority, so they get away with it for a season until we use that authority in the name of our head, whom we're joined to, who is our life. But they come down here and they go, oh, you failed. Look at all that dirt, that failure. Everybody saw it. Oh my gosh, this is you. Let's stick your face in it and think about it all night long until you can't sleep, until you're just groaning with torment. Jesus says, come here, you're me. What's going on here? That's my body. Your trust, but that's my wife, that's my member, that's me. What man doesn't love and cherish his own body, but what man hates his own body? Certainly not Jesus. What are you doing with me? That's me right there. I bought that person with my scars, my blood, I died. Yeah, well, they're letting me. Well, here I am to say goodbye. Yeah, but they're dirty. Well, hello, they're walking around down here. But their true identity and reality is one with the head. You got to let him love you. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his. You know, there's a let him in the Song of Solomon. It says, let him kiss you with the kisses of his mouth. Let him sing his song. You know what, I don't mean this in a bad way, because I'm the queen of getting tormented for stupid, stupid, idiot things that are, what? Come on, Kelly. But there's times when the Spirit comes to me and he just says, would you just stop the madness and let him wash you with the water of the Word. Let him kiss you with the kisses of his mouth. Let him breathe into you the spirit that you are now of, though you don't know that yet, but you're of it. You need him. You don't need to figure out what you did wrong. You don't need to identify with your dirt. You don't need to try to clean up that earth mess. You need to let the head flow into you and cleanse you from all defilement. And that's going to clean your earth. And that's going to prepare you for the altar. And that's going to use that failure to be something for God. It's going to redeem it. But if you make that everything and your identity, and you give yourself to cleaning it up without the water that flows out of the head that washes you through oneness, then you are wasting time when you could be with the one you love getting washed. See, that's what crazy old Matilda figured out.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm taking a vow, and it's the Lord through oneness. And she's like, oh. And so the person's like, I'm scrubbing the floor. The devil's sticking my head in it every 5 minutes. Clean it up. All the spiders in my head of the knowledge of good and evil, because it feels like torment, and it is. And how could God be this way? Well, he's not this way. That isn't the Lord. Good morning. It's the devil. Let's all say, it's the devil. Can we like pray for discernment? And I only know all this stuff because I'm like the queen retard in all these areas. I got a master's and then a doctorate and all this stuff. And then the Lord just loved me anyway. So, you know, you got to discern that and just get off of his ground and back into oneness. You're already in oneness. You never left oneness. Your mind did. Your ways did. But the husband cleaves to the wife. It doesn't say that Adam left his father and mother and then she cleaved to Adam. It says, man, it's quoted here in Ephesians 5, that Jesus left his father and he cleaves to us. So, yeah, I know, we let go sometimes, hello, but we're still one because he cleaves to us. He doesn't let us go. He's not unfaithful. We may deny him, but he won't deny us because he can't deny the death he died, and neither will his father. So we can hold up. We can. Now that's where you go, like last class. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
This is the reality in the head. This is His reality. This is what's true. I choose to believe, based on God's Word and God's reality, that let God be true and everything going on in my mind, in my emotions, and in my earth, and in my reality, be a liar. I choose it and I stand on it, and I'm going to start getting washed in oneness and do the little dance and get in the little feast and start having some fun finally and get on with life. It can be so doggone hard our way, and it is so doggone wonderful His way. And all you have to do is choose life. Just choose Him. Amen? Just be washed. I love the way the Lord is. He's awesome. Okay, well, let's end with the scripture in Ephesians 5, verse 2. Two scriptures, sorry. I legally still have a few more minutes, and I'm going to use my minutes because they've got some good scriptures. Ephesians 5 and verse 2, talking about those old legs. Oh, we didn't even get to the legs. Okay, so you got to wash the legs. Why does it talk about washing the legs? This is so good, and I'm just sad. I'm sad that it's... Well, you got to wash the legs because if we're the body of the sacrifice and our altars are things we literally walk through. I mean, it could have happened a few times in the Protestant Reformation. I don't know. There's probably not going to be hog-tied onto a piece of wood and lit on fire. Personally. Okay? It could happen. It has happened. It may happen. But before that does happen, you'll probably walk through a few fiery furnaces in your daily life. And you're going to have to release the Lamb as you walk it out, as you walk it out, as you live it, as you let Him, right? So it's those legs. Isn't it cool how God knew that? It's those old legs that need to be washed. Get those legs ready to start walking, possessing the land by Christ crucified. You know what I mean? Start taking ground through the sacrifice being your nature. Get those legs washed. Hey, you're not going to be able to wash. And that's where Hebrews 13 really gets fun. That's just a little fun seed on the side. But oh my gosh, those legs, if they start getting washed with their identity, I'm the body of the sacrifice, and that nourishment is flowing into every joint and ligament in my leg, and I'm realizing that I'm going to go through these trials in a certain spirit, I'm going to walk through them in the nature of the Lamb, I'm getting ready for the altar now. I'm ready to go into the fire. Fire is next. Those legs got to be washed with what's in the head, His spirit, His life. Got to wash those old leggies. Amen? And when you do... Read Ephesians 5:2. When you do Ephesians 5:2. Ephesians 5:2 says this, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Tell me that's not altar talk. Walk in love. Walk. Use your legs to walk in love in the very same way Jesus offered Himself as a sacrifice, a burn offering, a sweet smelling, a draw near. Amen? A holocaust and ohala. Hallelujah. We are the body of the sacrifice, and we walk as the body of the sacrifice when we let the head wash us with what the spirit of the sacrifice is. And our final scripture is Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We can present our bodies as a living sacrifice, one that is called acceptable in this verse, knowing that it is acceptable because the Lamb has washed it and filled it and is the nature found in this body. Therefore, we are the body of the sacrifice in the new covenant. As such, we need to be washed with pure water, prepared to walk in His mind and nature and not our own. We're His body. We're the body of the sacrifice. We're a living sacrifice. We're His body. 2 Corinthians 4:10, we bear in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. Amen. There it is. We finished. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for making us your body. Thank you for being our head. Thank you for oneness. Thank you for the grace of oneness to partake of your fullness, grace for grace. Thank you for the love that flows and gives itself unto utter covering in our worst state. You call us yours, my flesh, my bones, me. You don't know us in our reality. You know us in your reality, the reality that happened through your death, burial, and resurrection, the only reality that the Father knows, the reality upon which the Spirit moves and deals with us. There's no other reality. Lord, we want to turn the page and get on your page. We want to get with you as head. We want to move out of the realm of separation and start functioning through oneness and making changes happen faster and easier because you're our source, not ourselves. Lord, it's your word, it's your heart, it's your reality. We say, let everything be a liar. We're with you. We're yours. Cleanse us, wash us, cherish us, nourish us. We receive it. We want it. We let you. We let you. And we pray this out of oneness with Christ and in his name. Amen. Amen. That's all. I am 3 minutes before the time. Thank you very much.